I came across this chapter, part of this chapter in Song of Solomon, and I was like, Rick, we gotta read this. And I sent it to like several other people who I knew have that it applied to, and that had been going through some issues and some things, and that we felt like the Lord was bringing us out of those places. And so that is where this is all from. Our flexibility is honored by y'all, and I appreciate that. In so doing, this you will also need flexibility for as you track with me. So if you would turn to Song of Solomon, we, you know, there's different ways that people view Song of Solomon, Song of Songs. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. And the reason why is because it has so many things, so many nuggets in there that we overlook simply because we don't dig. You know, different things mean different things. They're metaphors to other things. They're allegories to other things. And so in reading the Song of Solomon, yes, it is about a relationship, but it is about a relationship that has to do with Jesus and his bride. And we are his bride, that we are the church. And so I am going to be in chapter 2, starting in verse 10. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it in the Passion translation and then bring out a few things in other translations too. And I warn you, depending on your translation, it may seem like it's really different. So here we go. Are y'all ready? Song of Solomon 2:10. Arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Come along with me. I have come as you have asked to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended, and the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny? I like that. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. The fragrance of their flowers whispers, there is change in the air. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. For you are my dove, hidden in the split open rock. It was I who took you and hid you up high in the secret stairway of the sky. Let me see your radiant face and hear your sweet voice. How beautiful your eyes of worship and lovely your voice in prayer. You must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. For they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? We will do it together. You know, Jesus, man, Jesus is cool. You know, there's many things that I listen to, many songs of old. You know, I've grew up with parents that love music, which I appreciate that. That's something that I've learned to adapt my life, so to speak. You know, if I'm in a rotten mood, you know, I know that listening to Jesus through music will change that. There's a lot of times where I just want to remember, like my grandparents, my grandfather. There's times where I want to remember him and just think about him, so I'll put in some Patsy Cline, right? There's different things like that music ministers to me. And I believe that Jesus uses those very things to sing over us, right? So the Song of Songs to me is that. It is like listening to the greatest love song and being like, oh, I'm loved. And remembering how he's loved me in the past, but also seeing where I'm at and going for the future. Anyway, so this is the bridegroom, Jesus, speaking to us. And he says in verse 10, I have come as you have asked, to draw you to my heart and lead you out. You know, we ask him to come. We ask him to intervene in our life. And that's what he does. In James 4:8, he says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. That is a promise written in his word. So during this time, we are drawing into him. We are pulling into you, pushing into him. And he is doing just that. He is calling us out. He is saying, okay, let's go. Let's do this. He will lead us. Another thing that really stuck out to me was that the season has changed. The bondage of your barrenness winter has ended, and the season is of hiding is over and gone. The thing with barrenness is it was a bondage, especially in the biblical times. It was considered, if you couldn't have kids as a woman, you were useless. I mean, they're going to find somebody to bear a child for them, right? We look through the Old Testament and see, I mean, Abraham, he found someone to have a child for him. And so Jesus is saying that time of unproductive, unfruitful time is gone. That's what barren means. It means unproductive, unfruitful. And I thought about that and how being barren in our fruit for the Lord, right? We do things. We work, we work, 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 work. And if we have no fruit from it, then it is bondage. It's just work. There's nothing to it. And so I felt like the Lord was saying that season of not seeing fruit and being unproductive is gone. So this brings me joy. Things that we don't necessarily see the fruit in right away, or things like maybe you've been praying for a loved one for years. You know what? That time of being unfruitful is gone. The winter is past. The new season is approaching. And let me explain this to you. In order to receive a new season, you just simply have to embrace it. You know what? You embrace. You know what? If someone stands up and says, Megan, you're going to the nations, well, she already knows that. If someone says that to her, then she's like, yeah, I am. And it's that simple. Jesus says, hey, we're entering a new season. Yeah, we are. So expect those things to change. Those areas of maybe it's prayer, maybe you've been witnessing to someone, maybe you've just, you know what, in our lives, we get into the mundane thing of where we can go everywhere, do what just needs to be done, and ignore everything else going on around us. We simply just do. You know what I mean? We just live. And that to me is unproductive. Even though we're getting things done, maybe we're not accomplishing things for the kingdom that he wants us to accomplish. So we just receive a new season. Another thing that stuck out to me was this season of hiding is over. You know, when I think of hiding, I think of it's a way of just protection. I hide when I want to protect myself, right? When I don't want to be vulnerable. So Jesus is saying, you know what? It's time to trust me. It's time to trust me and get out of hiding. Get out of the comfortable enclosure that I like to hold really tight to. It's time to stop hiding. And then sometimes it's just a matter of we feel like that we've been overlooked, maybe. I'm turning to Luke 18:14. What I was saying is sometimes, you know, Jesus, it almost feels like that we're being overlooked. Maybe it's in your job. Maybe it's just simply in life. Maybe it's us as a church where we feel like we're working, we're ministering to the community, and nothing seems to be changing. And sometimes it's just a matter of Jesus doing the promotion, right? Sometimes we get in a place where we want to promote or we want to do things. So Luke 18:14. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before the Lord. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I felt like the Lord was saying that it's time for us to come out of hiding. It's time for us to shed off the things that protect us, that we've built around our own heart, and that we walk in humility, because the Lord is going to exalt us. He's going to bring us out, and he's going to show us off. Humility simply means modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance. You know, a lot of times we get confused as Christians. We think that we can't receive compliments, or we can't, if someone says thank you, then we're like, it's all Jesus. That was good. It's all Jesus. That is false humility. We know that it's all Jesus. We know that. But it depends on what my heart does. It depends on, in that moment, if someone's saying, you know what, you're an awesome man or woman of God, you should say thank you. Because you know that it's Jesus, right? That's the difference. So not only is Jesus saying that he is drawing near to us to lead us, he is also saying that the time of our barren winter is over, and it is time to come out of hiding. In verse 11 also, he says, the rains have soaked the earth. And rains just simply means the Holy Spirit, and represent refreshing from him. It's good, huh? Come out of hiding so that you could be refreshed and see the refreshing, basically. I turned my page. Now I got to go back. Verse 12. The season for singing and pruning. The vine has arrived. My version just says the season of singing has come. The NIV says that. Singing and pruning, they sound the same in Hebrew. Isn't that odd? Because when I think of pruning, I've always learned that it has to be painful. That pruning has to be painful. But you know, I was thinking this morning, he said that it's arrived. This season of pruning is arrived, or the season of singing and pruning has arrived. But I was thinking about that. You know, when there's something in my life that is causing death, it doesn't hurt to get rid of it. Or if it's taking life from me, it doesn't hurt in the end to get rid of it. I mean, that's pruning, right? If it's taking nutrients from me, if it's taking the very life from me that I need to survive and I need to go farther with, or I need to run farther with, then those things are the things that God prunes. And I think the thing that it hurts sometimes is we almost become comfortable with those things that cause us death and suck our life. We become comfortable with only surviving just a little bit on what we do. I mean, you know, some days you could be around someone that, man, it sucks the life out of you, and then you'll have a good time, and then you'll go again, and it's like, why am I hanging out with this person? I think then sometimes we just relax in those relationships instead of saying, you know what, this is causing death to me. It's time to move on. I think that's when it may hurt a little, but in the end, man, it's good. But when I think of singing, because he says they're it's the same, I think of a place of joy. So there comes a place in the pruning process when we just have to realize, you know what? It's for my joy. It is to bring me life, and it is my joy. It is not just something to endure. John 15:1 speaks about pruning. I'll turn there really fast. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit is he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So, man, we're supposed to bear even more fruit. It's good. Allow him to prune us. The next thing that I want to bring out is I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you. That was also in verse 12. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The turtle doves or the doves only were heard once a year, and that was during harvest time. Think about this. Jesus is saying, I hear the doves cooing, filling the air with songs to awaken you. It's harvest time. He hears the doves. It's to awaken us to say, you know what? It's time. It's time. The season has changed. You know, I was talking to a friend, and, well, let me say this first. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Y'all tracking with me? Y'all are quiet. 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, I thought about that, how he is saying that he hears the cooing of the doves to awaken us. The cooing, I mean, for some, it just simply means that it's time to get the gun out and shoot them, right? But he's saying, it's harvest time. Let's wake up. Let's rise up so that Jesus can shine on us, right? Verse 13, can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. Let me read that first part in 13 in the NIV. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. The fig tree blooming is a sign of an early spring, a new season. And the fig tree always speaks of destiny. Now, I was talking to a friend the other day, and I was telling her about the women's conference, and I was telling her about just different words that we got that I shared with y'all last week, just about Jesus saying yes, and how we have always believed that we have favor in this city, in this area. And she said, I feel, as you're talking, I feel in the spirit a change of season. And then I said, I feel like it's been an early change. That's one thing you never hear. She even said, she was like, you never hear that. If anything, it's always like, oh, when is this change going to happen? When is this season going to change? Right? I feel like the Lord, through his grace, has brought the fig tree. The fig tree is blooming. It is a new season. Those things in your heart and life that you've desired to see change but have not changed, it's time to look for the new season. It's time to notice that the fig tree is blooming. If you've struggled financially, believe that the season is over with that. If you've struggled with something else, believe this is a new season. In verse 13, says, there is change in the air. There is change in the air. I'm going to skip down to verse 15. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Our vineyards that are in bloom. In the Passion Translation, you must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. For they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? We will do it together. One thing about these little foxes is it could simply be something like anger, frustration, irritability, lack of patience. It could be anything, any small thing or big thing. You know, we put sin on a scale, don't we? If I punch you in the face, it's easier than cussing at you, or worse than cussing at you. We put everything on a sin scale. But these foxes, I love the way the Passion Translation says it, that hinder our relationship. Anything that hinders our relationship with God. And you know those things. Whether it's watching a movie you shouldn't watch, listening to a song you shouldn't watch. You know, I had just said that I like to listen to oldies. I like to listen to older love songs, older things, because it's easier for me to turn things to God. Like the song, You Are So Beautiful. Man, Jesus sings that over us. Believe that. Now, with that said, the line that I have is this: with music, with movies, anything, talk. If I find myself in a place where it feeds lust, feeds greed, feeds the thing that are contradictory to the word and character of God, then I don't do it. Right? There's music, there's movies, there's things that are outright contradictory to the word and presence of God. If I cannot listen to a song and invite his presence, then it's wrong. I was listening to a conversation, And it was about a new song, and they were saying, you know what, we gotta stop listening to this person because it's all about lust, and it's all about sex, and it's all about this now. Something's changed with this person who sings. So they stopped listening to it. That is a defining line, right? If I struggle with lust, I'm not going to watch a movie that brings that exact spirit into my room. If I struggle with gossip, I'm not going to surround myself with a bunch of people who like to gossip. If I struggle with anger, I'm not going to find myself in fellowship with someone who's a hothead. This is wisdom from heaven. If I hate drama in my life, I'm going to get it out. I'm going to shut the door. I'm going to padlock it. I'm going to make sure nothing else is able to come in until the little foxes are gone, because they're eating what Jesus is planting within me. Right? And this is simply taking your relationship with Jesus seriously. We have to have a boundary that says, you know what? This is as far as this mess goes. Right? It's time for us as the body of Christ to say, you know what? It's simply not worth it. Indulging in that is not worth hurting my relationship with God. You know, we talk with the kids quite often about doing things that just causes a disconnect between us and Jesus. Or even us. I wouldn't walk up to you and slap you because I knew that would cause a disconnect between us. But we do that with Jesus, don't we? We don't take our relationship with him very seriously. And this really wasn't the plan to really go off on this, but I guess it's Jesus' plan, all right? If I struggle with addiction, I'm not going to hang out with those who have that and embrace it, right? I know that there are times where Jesus will call people back to minister to people, but he'll also call those people forward so that you can minister to them. You don't have to always step back into the pit to minister. I think that Jesus is calling us to a new season. We've stepped into that new season as a church. I believe that we are seeing more fruit and are going to see more fruit than we've seen. But I also know that in our personal relationship with God, that we have to get rid of those things that hinder us. I love the way it says it. It ruins what he's planted within us. Ruins what he's done in us. What he has destined for us. You know what? For me, sometimes it's just not making priority on the things that are priority, right? I could just chalk things up to say, hey, I'm busy. I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. And not spend the time in prayer that I need to. I really want to watch this show. I'd rather do this, sit on the couch, sit in the chair, and spend time with Jesus. Just being honest. At the end of the day, after the kids are in bed, the last thing I want to do is get my butt up out of the chair and spend time with Jesus. Once the day is done, it's like something clicks in my head, and I'm like, I'm done. Done. But you know, sometimes Jesus is wooing me at that very time. So I have a choice. Get rid of the little fox of laziness that's eating what he's planted within me. Right? Does that make sense? Megan's struggling. Her throat hurts, and she's saying, thank you. You know, I think also that the little foxes can simply be our view of ourselves. We limit ourselves by our view of ourselves. That could be a little fox. If Megan doesn't believe that she's going to go to the nations, that she could even get her passport, then she'll never get there. Which I guess you need to. Is that what that was? Well, so you have to believe in yourself and Jesus, okay? This isn't like a rah-rah on humanism of like, hey, just believe in yourself and everything's good. It's not that. It is. Believe in yourself that Jesus made you something. And he made you for a purpose. And he made you for a destiny. And we all need you to walk in that place. We need each other. We're in this together. Let's get rid of the little foxes. Because I'm being cheated. I'm being cheated if Megan doesn't go to the nations. Then I wouldn't have another place to go to visit. Right? We would be cheated if Todd wasn't willing to be flexible this morning. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the new season. We thank you, Jesus, that you're calling us out of hiding. We thank you, God, that you have declared over us that the season of barrenness is over, that the winter is past, Lord, and that harvest is here. Fruitfulness is here. God, I pray that you just pour on us a special grace and tenacity to get rid of the little foxes, whatever that may be, Jesus. Those things that draw our heart away, Lord. And Jesus, I thank you that your word says, don't say that you tempt us. Well, really, it's just my fleshly desire that's doing it. And Jesus, I pray, God, that you shine on us the importance of walking in our destiny and walking in the purposes that you've laid out for us, God. May we take that seriously, Jesus, and may we realize, God, that each part in their place, each person in their place, God, matters so much for the whole. And God, I thank you for those that have wrestled in the past season with finances, Lord. I pray that immediately in Jesus' name there will be breakthrough and they will realize the new season they're in. Maybe it's prayers for loved ones, Jesus. I thank you for victory in that. I thank you for a new season in that, in Jesus' name, that they will see. They will see their loved ones come. Jesus, we honor you and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I wanted to share just really quickly something about the loved ones thing. You know, I remember my brother, you know, he was in drugs and all that mess. He's saved, serving Jesus now. Praise God. I remember when he was in all of that, I remember there would be times that the Lord would wake me up in the middle of the night and I would have no idea what to pray for him. No idea. So I just prayed in tongues, or sometimes I just cried, just wept. And then I remember one time where I was in this a play, I forget what you call when they play music and you like the human video or something like that. What is that? When they play a song and anyway, there's a drama with the song. I remember that, and the head of the ministry that I was working with, she came up to me and she was like, I want you to be the drug user in this drama. And I was like, okay. So, doing this drama, and at the end of the song, obviously, the person gets saved and delivered. I remember walking out down the aisle, listening to that song, and the Lord said, I will do it. So those things that you've prayed for, those things that you've wrestled with, those things where you've been like, yeah, I'm not sure if Jesus will do that for me, He will do it. My brother's road, even after he repented the first time, had not been easy. He'd fallen back. But you know what? Even in that, even when I had to cut my relationship off with him because of the lies and the manipulation, which is all part of addiction, the one thing I knew, because I heard it clearly, Jesus said, I will do it. So no matter how bad it had gotten, I knew that my brother didn't have a choice. Right? Yes, we have a free will, but when Jesus said he would do it. To me, I was like, sorry. I remember one time we were sitting and we were actually talking about Jesus, and he was like, you know, I could give it all up for him. I could do it. That's his personality, right, David? He said, I could do it. Throw everything away and just do it. Live for Jesus. And I leaned forward. And I said, no, you can't. And he said, why? He got offended. I said, because you don't love him. The only reason why an addiction will disappear or you'll conquer an addiction is because you love Jesus. When the little foxes become so ugly and gross and nasty to you, then you'll conquer. When those things that you enjoy become detestable, that's when. Jesus is far more important to me. Far more important. So if you have someone that you love that isn't saved, will you stand with me? Let's agree. If they're struggling with addiction, if they're struggling with a sin in their heart, or you know what, if they're not saved, whatever it is, let's stand. And let's pray for them. Because you know what? This is a real burden that we carry, right? It's a real burden. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you go to those loved ones, Lord, that we love. Go to them and set them free. Reveal yourself to them, Jesus. I thank you, God, that your promise is that my and my household will be saved. Lord God, I believe that because of your love and because of your goodness, that is what draws men to repentance, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you draw them by your goodness, that you draw them by your love. It is not by fear that people are drawn to you, God, but it is because of your love, because they get a glimpse of who you are, and that they say, you know what, Jesus is worth loving more than this. And God, in the process, I thank you that you set us free. Set them free. whatever hinders them from receiving your love, Lord. We give it all up for you, God. Will there be struggle? Yes, Lord. But I thank you that your grace is sufficient. Pour your love upon these faithful people that pray. Pour your goodness upon them, God. I pray, Jesus, that they hear your voice today that says, I will do it. I thank you for your faithfulness, God. In Jesus' name, amen.